Now, from Hosea chapter 1, the whole chapter. So I'm going to read it for us. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter, and the Lord said to him, "Call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.' And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel."
Hello everyone, my name is Brian and it's lovely to meet you if I haven't met you before. As Phil said, I'm on staff here at the Aldersgate Tops. I hope everyone had a good Easter. So today's passage from Hosea chapter 1 shows us how we Gentiles have become God's children. God's people in the Old Testament were the nation of Israel. And yet God has included us, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, as his children. And so I think we should be very thankful that we have been adopted into God's family. How did this happen? How did we become God's children? Well, let's look at what the passage says. So you'll be able to see an outline of the talk on your handouts. So our first point, God has rejected unfaithful Israel. God has rejected unfaithful Israel. Verse 1 tells us that the word of the Lord came to Hosea at a really bad time in Israel's history. The period was the 8th century BC. The nation of Israel had been unfaithful to God for many years. And this explains why God caused his people whores in verse 2. Did you notice that when Phil read the passage? It's shocking language, isn't it? Prostitutes, whores. God says to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." Three times he mentions the word whoredom. Now, to give a bit of background, Israel had a very special relationship with the Lord. They had been saved from Egypt to be his special people. It was like a marriage relationship between God and his people. And yet, the people had become increasingly unfaithful to God, their husband. When the northern kingdom of Israel was first established, the people bowed down to representations of God, golden calves. And by the time of Hosea, things had gotten even worse. The people were worshipping Canaanite gods. They were bowing down to them. And just to show how shocking Israel's unfaithfulness was, God tells Hosea, his prophet, to marry a prostitute. The point he wants to make is that Israel has behaved like a prostitute. It is shocking behavior. They have been so unfaithful to the Lord. They have committed spiritual adultery against their husband. And so in response to their unfaithfulness, what will the Lord do? Well, he will reject his unfaithful people. And that is our point for the first section. The Lord has rejected his unfaithful people. And he does this in three stages. Firstly, he punishes the house of Jehu, the kings who ruled the northern kingdom. And this is covered by verses 4 and 5. And then secondly, God punishes the northern kingdom, but he spares the southern kingdom of Judah. This is covered by verses 6 and 7. And then finally, in verses 8 and 9, he promises to destroy the southern kingdom as well. We see that Hosea has three children, and each child corresponds to one stage of God's judgment. Hosea's first child is called Jezreel. Jezreel was where King Jeroboam II of Israel's great-grandfather, King Jehu, murdered both the kings of Israel and Judah. And so the Lord promises to punish Jehu's descendants for the murders that were committed by their forefather at Jezreel. This punishment will be the ending of Jehu's violent dynasty. God will break the bow, the very weapon that Jehu used to murder the two kings. The violence of Jehu will be put to an end. The murdered kings will be avenged. And that is exactly what happens. 2 Kings 15 tells us that King Zechariah was the last of the house of Jehu. He was murdered by one of his followers. And so stage one of God's judgment was now complete. Well, and now we come to stage two of God's judgment. Hosea's second child, as we can see in verse 6, is called No Mercy, or She Has Not Received Mercy. The Lord promises in verse 6 to no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, to not forgive them at all. The house of Israel here is referring to the northern kingdom. God has been waiting 200 years for them to come back to him. But they have stubbornly refused. In fact, they have been sleeping with more and more boyfriends. And so God will no longer be patient. He will no longer have mercy on them. He will no longer forgive their spiritual adultery. He will put an end to it. He will wipe the northern kingdom off the map. And again, that is precisely what happened in history. In less than 50 years after Hosea was written, the Assyrians marched on the northern kingdom of Israel and conquered it. The nation of Israel was no more. God gave them up to their enemies entirely. No more mercy, no more forgiveness. At the same time, God will save the southern kingdom of Judah. He will rescue them from their enemies. It says that in verse 7. Some of the kings of Judah were better than the kings of Israel. They actually obeyed God's commandments. And so God chose to rescue them from their enemies for now. In 701 BC, a huge Assyrian army besieged Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah. But in response to the king's prayer for help, God wiped out the Assyrian army overnight. And that's why he says in verse 7, that fulfills what he says, I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. The Lord miraculously kills the whole army overnight without using a single sword. And so God does indeed show mercy to Judah. He does indeed rescue them from their enemies. And so that completes stage two of God's judgment. And what about stage three, the final stage of God's judgment? Well, we read in verses 8 to 9 that even the southern kingdom of Judah will be rejected by God eventually. Hosea's third child is called Not My People. Judah will no longer be God's people, and God will no longer be their God. God had mercifully rescued them from the Assyrians back in 701 BC. And yet, the people were still unfaithful. They were still breaking his rules. They were still worshipping and bowing down to foreign gods. And so God promises to reject them, just as he rejected the northern kingdom of Israel. God will break off his special relationship with them, his marriage relationship with them. He will divorce them. Imagine if a wife has been unfaithful to her husband. Her husband then forgives her, but yet the wife carries on cheating her husband. Would the husband be right in divorcing her? Well, yes, of course he would be, because the wife has broken the marriage promises that she made. And so that's the same with God's decision to divorce his people. He has kept his side of the marriage covenant, but because of his wife's unfaithfulness, he has decided to break off this relationship. And again, that is actually what happens in history. In 586 BC, the capital city, Jerusalem, was captured by the Babylonians. The whole nation of Judah was carried off to Babylon. This time, God did not save his people from their enemies. Why? Well, because they were no longer his people. The marriage relationship had ended. There was a divorce. And so God gave up his own people, his former people, to their invaders. And that completes God's judgment. Stage three has now been fulfilled. So back to our opening question. How did we Gentiles become God's children? Well, first off, because God has rejected his unfaithful people, Israel. God has rejected his unfaithful people, Israel. They were his original people. And yet, because they chose to reject God, God has rejected them too. He has divorced them. They are no longer his people. But that is not the end of the story. God is gathering a new Israel. That's our second point in our handouts. God is gathering a new Israel. God promises in verse 10 that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. When did God last say, you are not my people? Well, back in verse 9. He said these words to the southern kingdom. And where was the place that he said these words, you are not my people? Well, it was in Jerusalem. Specifically, God confirmed his divorce by removing his presence from the temple in the heart of Jerusalem. And that is exactly the same place where God will begin to gather a new Israel. on Good Friday, which has just gone past, 2,000 years ago, do you remember that when Jesus died on the cross, the temple and the curtain was torn in two? Jerusalem is also where Pentecost took place and the church was birthed. Jews from every region around the world received the Holy Spirit and became the children of God. God is gathering a new Israel, starting from Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, the gospel then spread to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts tells us that many Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles believed in the gospel as it was preached to them. They received the Holy Spirit, and they became the adopted children of God. But not only that, look down with me to verse 10. It tells us that the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted, just as God had promised to Abraham. And this promise is being fulfilled right now. Look at us here. We are, you know, those of us who trust in Jesus are God's children. And not only that, but all around the world, there are 2 billion people who call themselves Christians, sons of the living God. We really are like the sand of the sea. But more than that, verse 11 tells us that the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head. What does this mean? Well, this means that the descendants of both the southern kingdoms and the northern kingdom can once again be reunited. They will become one people again. Well, how is this possible? Because the northern kingdom is no more. It's been destroyed, and the southern kingdom also has been carried off to exile, and those who have returned are the remnant of what used to be the kingdom of Judah. Well, the book of Acts tells us that Samaria is included in God's plan of salvation. The Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom, but they too can be readmitted into God's family if they submit to Jesus as Lord. They too can become God's people again if they trust in Jesus. And so that is how they will be reunited with the descendants of the southern kingdom. Both the Jews and the Samaritans can once again become God's children if they believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so what is God doing? God is gathering a new Israel that is made up of Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles. They will become one people under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of verse 11 says, "And they shall go up from the land, and for great shall be the day of Jezreel." This is referring to the return of God's people from exile. It's a promise that we, as God's people, will one day enter the promised new creation. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament quotes verse 10 in Romans chapter 9. He says that both Jews and Gentiles are included in God's plan of salvation. So that means that we Gentiles really are God's children. In fact, Paul goes on to say that our inclusion will lead to the Jews returning to God once more. And that is happening right now. There are many Jews who are trusting in Jesus as the promised Messiah, and they are becoming God's children again. So how did we Gentiles become God's children? Firstly, because God rejected his unfaithful people Israel. But then secondly, because he is gathering a new Israel that includes us. We are part of God's new people, Israel. We are his children. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that we should be really thankful that we have been included as God's children. We were not part of God's original chosen people, Instead, we belonged to idol-worshipping nations. Our ancestors served many different gods, but not the one true God. So God did not have to include us, but he has, because of his great kindness. He's brought us into his family. He has adopted us to be his children. We are now in the same family as our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. We have one head, the Lord Jesus. We will one day return to our home, the new creation, when Jesus comes back. And so let's thank God every day for this amazing privilege. And let's be humble and not proud, because we don't deserve his mercy. God has just been so kind to us. He has shown us, he has poured out his grace on us. But let's also be careful not to commit spiritual adultery. We know from today's passage that God really hates it, doesn't he? He hates it when his people, who he has saved, do not remain faithful to him. And so let's be single-minded in our devotion to the Lord. Let's love God wholeheartedly. God is still gathering people to be to become his children. It's still happening. It will still happen until Jesus comes back. And so every day, as the gospel is preached, more people are trusting in Jesus, receiving the Spirit, and becoming his children. And so for us who are Christians, let's take every opportunity to share this good news to our friends, our family, our colleagues, and our neighbors. Let's share this gospel so that they too may believe in it and be included in God's family. Let's pray.